Amen. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Jason Rafferty. He's going to come. Give us the word, Jay. We need it. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. It is a privilege to be up here speaking. We consider this a huge thing to be able to bring the word of God. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. And the Bible says that. So we're going to commit this time unto the Lord. And God gave me a word for you and for me, and that we'll be blessed today, that it'll bring life, it'll bring freedom, you know, it'll bring deliverance into our lives. Because that's why Jesus came, to bring freedom into each one of our lives. He paid the price in full for every single one of us, that we would have fullness of life in him. So Lord, we just want to say that we love you, O God. Lord, we want to say that we adore you, Lord God, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Father. Lord, we say that this place belongs to you, Lord, that we are your people, O God. And Father, we commit this unto you, Father. We say, Lord, we all step out of the way, O God. And Father, we say, have your word, Lord, have your way, Lord God, in us and through us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Encounter God. You know, that each one of us today will encounter God. And this is the word the Lord gave me. We know it's very familiar to us. It's in Ezekiel 37, about the valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a man that, you know, in Ezekiel, I think it's 3, he says that he ate a scroll. And he said it was the beginning of his prophetic calling. He said it was bitter at first, but then it became sweet, you know. And he was going on great adventures with the Lord. And this is one of them adventures where the Lord revealed himself to him and bring him on a journey and showed him things and then gave him the understanding on what he was showing him. And the same for each one of us. You know, God will show us things, but he will also give us understanding what he's shown us. So we'll read it out. It says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So he prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Come from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from there. I will bring you back from the land of Israel. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then my people will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from there, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in the land. That you will know, I will settle in you in the land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. There's loads in that. But the people of Israel, I was doing a little research into it. At this time, when Ezekiel was called, he was in Babylon. And at that time, it was 598 or something, BC, before Christ. And Ezekiel, they were took into captivity. Solomon's temple, that was after being built and all that, and that was in Jerusalem. But that was after being broken down. The city was destroyed. The place was in ruins. And all the people of God were brought into Babylon. And, you know, they they would have known the temple, they would have known their inheritance. But they were because of sin and because of disobedience, they ended up in a place with nothing. They ended up really in a place of being lost. And they ended up in a valley. They ended up, you know, just being broken and lost. And there was two things that hit me in this. He says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. And this is very important. He says, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. So they were looking at things as hopeless and they were in a place of desperation. Well, look what God says. It says, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And the Lord was promising that I'll bring you back into the promise of God. I'll bring you back into your inheritance. You know, and even as we are in Christ, you know, I was thinking that he says, I will open up your graves. I will bring you out of that place where you were dead, where there was no life. You know, and in Christ Jesus, each one of us has been made alive again in Christ. We were all in the grave. Each and every one of us was in the grave. We were dead in our sins, in our transgressions, but we were made alive again in Christ. We were born again of the Spirit of God. We're children of God because what Christ has done. You know, and it's like as Sharon said earlier, you know, when we know who we are and we know what he's done, we will walk differently. We will walk upright. We will walk with our heads high because we know. We know him. And when we know him, we will be like him. We will walk like him. We will talk like him. And we will see like him. We will see the world outside like him. We will see ourselves the way he sees us. You know? So praise the Lord. And just when I was thinking of this, you know, I was thinking of the church. And I was thinking, you know, the valley of dry bones. But also, you know, it was like, you know, in this picture, he was talking about Israel. But us as a church, you know, we've been made alive again in Christ. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in valleys. You know, even as a church, and God brings us through these valleys. You know, and even he was talking about the body. First he was talking about the bone, dry bones. Then he was talking about bones coming together. Then he was talking about putting flesh on the bones and tendons in the body. And he was strengthening the body. You know, he was bringing life into the body. He was breathing on the body. You know, and we're the body of Christ. We're all part of the body. There's many members in the body, but we're one body. You know, and we have to, like, most important. You know, even look at history, look at revivals, look at in the book of Acts. When there was revival, in the book of Acts, they were all in one accord. They were all one focus, they were one accord, and that's when the Spirit of God broke out. That's when revival came. That's when they seen 3,000 coming to Christ, is that when they were together. When we lay down all of our own agendas, when we submit ourselves to God, when we say, do you know what, I want to bless, I want to honor everyone around me. I want to honor everyone that's in here. I want to honor what's in them, what God has put in them. And it's like what Jesus said, you know, a prophet is without honor in his own town. But also, if we honor each other, we will get what each other has. You know? And that's the truth. Because I look at, you know, out here and I see mighty men and women of God. You know, and Lord, help us to see each other like that. You know, because it's the truth. This is the truth of God, you know? And just what Sharon was saying as well, I felt the Lord point that, like, you know, as I said, sometimes as believers, we find ourselves in valleys, we find ourselves in tough places, we find ourselves, you know what I mean, going through things, and it's like, will I ever get through this? Will I ever get over this? Will I ever, you know, just get freedom from this? And, you know, in Psalm 18:29, it says, with your help, I will advance against a troop. With my God, I will scale a wall. So if there's anything that's in front of you that we think is impossible, it's possible in God. You know, for each one of us, regardless of what it is, it's possible in God. You know, and the scripture, he says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what a promise from the Lord. He's saying, I'll stick with you regardless of what you're going through. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When I accept you, as the Bible says it, Jesus says, not one that has been given to me will be took out of my hand. And that's the truth of God. Isaiah 43, Israel's only Savior and our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but now, today, this moment, right here, right now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, and he's talking about Jacob, but he's saying to each one of us, he who created you, he who formed you in your mother's womb, he who knitted you together, who bring you forth on the day you were born, who created your innermost being. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not swamp over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom and Cush and Seba in your stead. Excuse me. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. You know, you're precious and honored in God's sight. Each one of us. God has honored us. He's honored us by giving his Son for each one of us. Our inheritance is in the Son. And what I felt this morning, the Lord, it's in, I just have to write down here. It's in Exodus 15. And it's about the bitter. It's Exodus 15, 24, I'll read from. Actually, I'll read before that, 22. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they came not to drink its water because its water was bitter. You know, they were in a desert place. They were looking for water. And the water that they were trying to find was bitter. But then the Lord, he's called out to the Lord. And the Lord says, get that piece of wood and throw it into the water. And the water became sweet. You know, I was thinking of Jesus, you know, on the cross. You know, everything that was bitter became sweet for each one of us. You know, the sweetness of God to its fullness is that we're redeemed, that we're cleansed with the blood of Jesus, that we're righteous, that we're holy, that we're sons and daughters of the King. That we don't have to perform, that we don't have to do anything. And to be honest, if I find myself on the road in my Christian walk performing sometimes, trying to be right or trying to do this, if I'm really being honest. But you know what? God in his grace and mercy always brings us back on track. And a lot of that can be in out of our own past hurts or whatever. And it's just a journey of healing. But there's freedom in Christ. There's great freedom in Christ. Praise God. I was thinking of the graduation last week, and I was thinking of the baptisms out on the beach and all that type of thing, which was wonderful, just to see all the people that graduated and just everything that God is doing and everything he's imparting into people's lives. You know, it's wonderful to see it. And all the guys getting baptized, some people here, they only got saved the week before and they were out in the sea the next week. I was just like, that's radical, you know. I was like, Lord, let me rub off these guys, because that's the type of people you want to be hanging out with, you know. And so, if you have his word, it's in Joel 2. I'm going to read a bit of that now. And it says, an army of locusts. God is raising up an army. And part of that raising up, and part of that is that we're one body, we're one army, we're one battalion. We're, you know, there's different positions in the army, you know, but there's no inferior or superior parts in this army. We're all equal. We might have different authorities, we might have different positions. But the Bible says we give greater honor to them things that seem less, because we're all part of the one family, you know. So it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. And I'm going to go over to verse 3 now. It says, then before them fire devours. Behind them a flame blazes. I was just thinking that even for each one of us, you know, before them fire devours. Behind us is a flame that's blazing. You know, the Bible talks about the fire of the Holy Spirit. It talks about that, you know, at Pentecost, that they come down like tongues of fire and landed on each one of them. You know, and that's for us all. It's not true. We have that today. It says, they have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry, with a nose like that of chariots. They leap over the mountaintops like a crackling fire and consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish, every face turns pale. And this is beautiful. It says, they charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swaying from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. I just think, when I was reading that, I was thinking of the church. I was thinking of us as a body. You know, it's a lot of stuff there. It says they charge like warriors. They take, you know, they're just, it's like, you know, sometimes we think of a warrior all the time as going out into battle, and that's right and that's good in war. But there's many different types of warriors in the kingdom of God. There's warriors, you know, that can be warriors in peace and love and all these different things that are shown the kingdom of God in many different expressions. Where it says that they scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line. And I just think, you know, for each one of us, that we're in line, that we're in the place that God has us in. You know, we don't waver from our course. You know, I always think, I remember a good few years ago, I was in Bible college, and it's in Acts 13, and I had to do a message. We all had to do one, and so I grew up, but I was keeping in, the first message I ever, done at that time, and I was keeping in step with the Spirit. And the Lord taught me a few things, you know. It's not always saying I've got things right, but we live and we learn, you know. But anyway, at that time, I was reading about, I think it was Paul and Silas. And actually, it goes on again into Acts 16 about the man from Macedonia. And they were traveling through different regions. And it said on two occasions that the Spirit of God prevented them from going to two different areas. And then he gave them the vision. He says, this is the vision. There's a man over in Macedonia crying out. And it's a great understanding that, you know, that we're following God, that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're positioned where he has us, you know, and that's a submitting to God, you know, because we'll all rub each other up in our, we'll have days that we hit off each other or whatever, but it's just being rich in forgiveness, being rich in love. At the end of this, it says, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his commands. You know, and I was taught that, and these things just flushed into my heart when the Lord showed me that. He said, you know, you think, mighty, mighty in what? And he says, mighty in love, mighty in forgiveness, mighty in compassion, mighty in faithfulness. You know, it says in 2 Peter verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That God has given us his Spirit. That he says, you know, that we have divine power, that we're plugged into the source, which is the Lord Jesus. You know, that we can produce fruit. Like what it says in John, he says, I am the vine, you are the branch. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And that's for us all. None of us are any different. We need to be connected. We need to be plugged into the Lord Jesus, because he's our source. He's our life. He's everything that we need. Judges 7. And it's about Gideon. Gideon was found in the wine press when the Lord went for him first. And the Lord called him and he chose him, and Gideon was like, he was the least of the least. And we can be all in that place. He's saying, I came from this family. My background, Before I came to the church, I was a chronic drug addict. There was addiction in my home. My home was destroyed, to be honest, by addiction when I was a kid. And my education was destroyed. And just across the board. But today, God has brought restoration into my life in that area. I am saved. My mother's saved. My brother's saved. Two of my sisters are saved. I'm not exaggerating. My education was non-existent. The Lord throws me into, talk about the deep end, out to UCD to do a diploma in community drugs work. And that, for me, that was huge. And I'm out in Maynooth. I have a full-time job. I have a beautiful wife and daughter and baby coming. That's God. That's God. So Gideon, it says early in the morning, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring Heron. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I can't deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who leap the water with their tongues as a dog leaps." Neve is always correcting me with that. The Lord told me, "Separate those who leap the water with their tongues as a dog leaps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drink from cupped hands, leaping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink." The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that leaped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon went. Gideon sent the rest of his Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of others. I was just even reading that. I don't want anyone else taking over my position in God. Not that anyone can. We're all called. We're all chosen. The gift and call of God is irrevocable. Each one of us is called. But God is calling each one of us, every single one of us, to step into that position that he has for us. Because it's great. It's a great position. You know, when one part of the body is honored, we're all honored. You know, and I think, you know, Lord, wake us up to that. You know, we need to be awake to that. We need to be awake. You know, it's like a vehicle. You know, the church is God's vehicle on this earth. To see the lost come in, to see people saved, to see people coming into the kingdom of God. You know, and you know, I've went through and we said, but even as, you know, we get gifts, we get anointing, we get gifts of the Holy Spirit, we get the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we get everything from God. You know, but sometimes if we know our identity and just be still and know that he is God and that his plan and purpose for our life is good, you know, we don't have to jostle each other for a position. We don't have to. We just lay everything. And you know what? We'll get behind our brothers and sisters. We'll get behind everybody, regardless of who they are, how they were anointed or how they're not anointed. And we'll get behind them and we'll bless them and we'll pray for them because we have God's heart. We have the glasses on that God, we can see what God sees in the church, and because he loves each one of us. He loves each one of us. He has a great purpose and call. And every single one of us is significant to God. There's a great call of God on each one of us because we're part of the body of Christ. Hold on. Where am I going? What I'd like to do, I'm just looking at the time. We have plenty of time. So after I'll bring this, the rest of this, but that we respond. And I really believe the Lord said to me he wants to bear things in people, you know, and you know, that we step in, every single one of us, that we step into this, you know, And the word the Lord has had to give me for this is the river flowing from the temple in Ezekiel 47. You know, and there's many things in it. So I'll bring it, but just that we go after that. And Jay, if you can come up after that and lightly worship. And we'll minister whatever the Lord wants to do, let him do it. That we just respond to it. And every single one of us, don't exclude yourself. Every single one of us that we come up. And if you feel like you don't want to respond for someone else, come up and minister to somebody else. There's a prayer team here. There's a ministry team here that move powerfully. Who I worked with for years upstairs on the intercession. Not just them, across the board, the treasure hunters. You know what I mean? It's a great time, the treasure hunters. It's brilliant. But even on that, I just felt, you know, even walking into the water, the ankle, the knee, the waist, I feel the Lord saying that there's going to be treasure found in this water today. I feel the Lord saying that this morning. There'll be treasure. As you walk out and step out, you'll find things in God. He'll release things onto you. But it's like anything. If there's a door in front of me and there's loads of provision behind that, if I don't go up and open that door, there's no way in the world that I'm going to be able to take that provision. So it's a step of faith. It's a stepping out in God. Then he brought me back to the entrance to the temple. And I seen water coming from out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me through the north gate and led me around the outside to the other gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to his waist. He measured off another 1,000, but it was a river that could not be crossed because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabia, where it enters the Dead Sea. Where it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever this river flows. There will be large numbers of fish. Because this river flows there and the salt water becomes fresh, so wherever this river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left as salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of this river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." And that's a powerful word. You know, there's place for spreading nets. There's place for fishermen. There's all different types of fish from many. And that's why, as I was reading that, it's like all different types of fish. Places for spreading nets. Places for you know, casting out things. Your net. What I believe the Lord is saying there, like the evangelists in the church, casting their nets out. You know, casting your fishing rod out. There'll be fish of all different types of kinds that God has ordained. And he's asking you, will you take up a fishing rod? Will you take up a net? Will you take up your position in God and walk in the way he wants you to walk? And even in that, it says, you know, their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Will you be the ones that step out in God and release healing into people's body? You know, this is going back a good few weeks ago. I was walking home from work and I asked the Lord for a divine appointment. So anyway, I'm going up through Grafton Street on the street. And a few weeks before that, I had prayed with this woman, you know. And her name was Teresa. So anyway, I said, "How are you, Teresa?" She was gobsmacked, you know. She says, "How do you know my name and all?" And I was like, I prayed with you a few weeks ago, right? So and anyway, I ended up praying with her. I says, mind if I pray with you again, Teresa, right? Now, genuinely being honest, I was praying for her and I was saying, I felt the Lord saying, open her ears, right? Now, I used to pray. I started praying, Lord, open her ears that she'll hear you. But in anyway, I was praying with her and she says, I can hear you. I says, what? She says, my ear, I couldn't hear. And now I can hear. So I didn't discern it right, but God still healed her. So what am I saying? I'm not a professional. I'm an ordinary Joe Bloggs that gets, even when I was getting it wrong, God healed the woman. You know? So what does that say? We can all do that. Each one of us can do that, you know? And in my job, I'm being totally honest here, my faith sometimes is like this. There was this man and he had all different types of abscesses on his legs. I've never seen that like it. I've never seen that like that before in my life. Really bad, you know. But anyway, he got an opportunity and God, he gave his life to God. And he ended up asking the Lord into his life. And this is his own words. He says, something went through me. This is 3 weeks later. He says, I haven't took tablets, I haven't drank, I haven't done anything, and my legs is getting better. And I'm telling you, I'm being honest here, because I kept looking at, it was like the Lord was even, I have like a bed registered with people's names, and as I kept looking, it was like the Lord was, you know the way the Lord would highlight a word in the Bible to you? It just shows you, it's like illuminating, you're like, you can't get away from it. It was like the Lord was doing the same thing with his name. It was like the Lord saying, if I'm being honest, part of me was thinking, I don't even know if this guy can be healed. That was the faith. It was non-existent. But when I stepped out, God did it. You know? So it's just to encourage people, you know, listen, step out. You know, step out in God. Sometimes it's just a little bit of faith. And God will move. God will do what he says he will do, you know? Because he's saying it. But as you were talking about the river flowing from the temple, the Bible says that each one of us are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now where does the river flow from? It flows from each one of us. Rivers of living water will well up in us until eternal life. God has deposited, the Bible actually says that, he's given his Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance to come. You know, it's like God is at the going, Jesus went, yeah, he's here with us, but Jesus went back to the Father and he says, I'll send you my Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. And now, here's the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work that you need to do on this earth until you come back and be with me forever. And so, Jay, if you can come up, we've plenty of time. It's past. So that, you know, as I said, I felt the Lord saying that he wants to bear things. You know, he wants to call people into the deeper water. And you know, so listen, respond. If God has been speaking to you today, respond to him. You know, it's not about, it could be anyone up here. It's not about me or anybody else. It's about what God is doing in your life and in my life. And we respond to that. So, Father, we just want to say that we love you, O God. Lord, we just want to say, Lord, let the, as your word came there, Lord God, Father, the deeper waters, Lord, we thank you for the river, Lord, that goes from ankle to knee, to waist deep, Lord God, right in, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for every person, Father, that their ears will be open to hear, Father. Lord, that you have not leaven us as orphans, O God, but that you've given us your Spirit, Lord God. The Spirit of sonship, Lord, that we can cry out, Lord, Abba, Father, Lord. And the Lord is calling, and that's what I feel, the Lord is calling you to come to the river. And that's a response that you can come to the front, you know, that you'll respond to God. Each one of us, the gifts are for every single person. So Lord, we love you, O God. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name, Lord God. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We magnify your, the name of Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. We sing together, Lord, and we lift up your name, Lord God. As one man, Lord, we are one body, O God. We are one body, Lord God. Guys, can you just stand up? Just stand up, respond. Shake off, as Louise says, shake off anything that's trying to even come on to you that's saying otherwise than what God is saying. Come to God. Come to the Lord Jesus. We love you, O God. We love you, Lord Jesus.